Morning. Today's Daf Mecharos is Chaf. We start today the third parak of the Masechta. And like the second parak, we're talking about Bechor Behemah Tahora, the firstborn of a kosher animal. And like the second parak, we open up with a discussion of exemption. The opening parak over here, the opening of this parak, is going to be a little bit challenging as we're basically going to deal with events that may or may not lead us to conclude that this animal has given birth previously. So we're going to be in the world of Suffolk. So if things are going to be a little bit cloudy and murky in the beginning of this parak, it's because that's exactly the topic. The topic is cloudiness and murkiness, and we're not sure whether or not this animal has given birth previously or not. And we have some clues, and basically we're going to be working with the clues. So a little bit of forensic science in today's daf. The exciting part, however, of these dapim, even though they are a little bit challenging, is a lot of the concepts that come up. We're going to be talking about miut, whether we're choshesh for a miut, what if there's a miut together with a chazaka, like some big topics in terms of what do we do with these clues. Okay. With that stated, let's open up with the opening mishnah of this parak. We're on Yotzos Amud Beis. So you buy an animal from a non-Jew, ve'enu yodeh im bichrem lo bichra. And now the history. So you don't know the history. Now, it'd be wonderful if you can ask him and he'd tell you, and whether or not he has ne'emanus. And, okay, those are all, by the way, important questions. But our discussion is going to revolve around the fact that you don't know any information other than you know the age. That's the only thing you know. So can you basically make certain assumptions regarding its birthing history based on its age? So Rabbi Yishmael Omer. So Rabbi Yishmael says yes, and it goes like this. So let's say you have a goat and it's within its first year. The only piece of information you have is the day that this goat was born. Good. So you know that it was born, and now within its first year, it's given birth. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, for a goat, you now know that this is its first birth. You can safely assume that it has not given birth historically, and so therefore, this is going to go to the Kohen. Now, let's say it's anything older than a year. So from that point going forward, now it's a suffix, meaning you don't know definitively whether or not it has given birth or it has not given birth. Consequently, this falls under the category of suffix. So what does that mean? So it means this as follows, says Rashi. It means that you don't have to give it to the Kohen. You could retain it for yourself. On the other hand, it could very well be a bechor. So you wait till it gets a blemish, and you, the owner, are able to eat it in its blemish state, but only after it gets a blemish. Good. And now the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is basically going to take us through the rest of the animal kingdom. Kosher animals, of course. Rachel Bashtayim, Vadelka, Mekam Ve'elach Safek. So when dealing with a sheep, so it's 2 years old. So that means to say that you know that's within its first 2 years of life, and now it is given birth. This is its first birthing, and so therefore this is definitively going to go to the Kohen. After 2 years old, so once again it's the state of Safek. Parvachamor, Benos Shalosh. Vada lekohen mikan ve'elech suffik. And if I have large animals, either a cow or a donkey. Now remember, by donkey, it's not a kosher animal, but its firstborn is a peter chamor, which we discussed in the first parak of the Masechta. So in these cases, 3 years of age is a cutoff. Meaning, if it has given birth within 3 years, this is its first, and that is a definitive bechor, and you're giving it to the kohen. Masha ain kain. If it's after 3 years, now it's a suffik. And go back to what we said previously. Amala Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Yishmael, Ilu bivlad bilvada behema nifteres kidvarecha. So Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Yishmael, look, if we work with this following assumption, you'd be right. But your assumption is incorrect. What's the assumption? You think that the only thing that would exempt the next child from Bechor is only a viable child. That's what you think. So this is what Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Yishmael. And if you were right, so then all your numbers are correct. But your assumption to begin with is based on a false premise. Because we know that when it comes to small animals, sheep and goat, so what exactly is considered a birth, which would exempt the subsequent babies? So that would be tinuf. Now tinuf we're going to describe right now as a discharge. It's basically some sort of discharge. It's a discharge event. What exactly came out, we're not particularly sure. Could be a little bit of blood, could be a little bit of mucus. It's some sort of discharge. Now, to be clear as I possibly can be, we're not saying definitively that a discharge is a birth. We're simply saying that a discharge could be a birth. But based on the fact that a discharge could be a birth, so what Rabbi Kiva now is saying to Rabbi Shmuel is, you can have discharges at an earlier point in time, And so therefore, the discharge could have been a birth. So now the subsequent baby, the subsequent birth, now is no longer definitively a bechor. And that too would fall under the category of a suffix. So, siman v'lad b'mehem adakatinov. Now, when it comes to a small animal, so it's a tinov, it's a discharge. Uvigasa sholya. Now, when it comes to a larger animal, so for that, that's a placenta. Uvi isha shpir v'shilya. And when it comes to a woman, a human woman giving birth, so for her, a siman of a birth is going to be both an amniotic sac and a placenta. Zehaklal. Kol sheyadua shebichra ein kan lakoin klum. V'chol shelo bichra harei zeh lakoin. If you know for sure that this is her first, that she has given birth historically, the Kohen gets nothing. And if you don't know, then it goes to the Kohen. The im safek, let me say it correctly. If you know that this is its first birth, that it's not its first birth, ain't kala Kohen klum, the Kohen gets nothing. And kol she yadua shebechra, and if you know that it's its first birth, ain't kala Kohen, okay, right. Can we just knock out the last 30 seconds? Zerakla, kol sheyadusha bechra ain kan lakoin klum. If you know that it's given birth historically, so then the Kohen gets nothing. V'chol shelo bechra harei zeh lakoin. And if you know, okay, thank you. Now I'm saying it correctly, finally. And you know that it has not given birth historically, so then obviously this is the first birth, and then it goes to the Kohen. V'im safek, now if it's a case of safek, yochal b'mumah labalim. So then what you're going to do is that you're going to retain it for yourself, and wait till it gets a blemish, and then and only then are you allowed to consume it. Good. So what we have now together in our Mishnah basically is two opinions. We have the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, we have the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Akiva's position, although it sounds like it's clearly articulated in the Mishnah, although admittedly it took me a while to get it out, but although Rabbi Akiva's position seems to be pretty clear in the Mishnah, when you really think about Rabbi Akiva's position in the Mishnah, we don't really know what he's talking about. Meaning, I'll review what Rabbi Akiva taught us in the Mishnah. If you know for sure that it has not given birth, good. So then that means the first one's coming out as a bechor, mazel tov. And if you know for sure that it has given birth, so then the next one obviously is not a bechor, and therefore you obviously keep it for yourself. And you don't have to wait till it gets a blemish. It's a regular chulin animal. Now, if it's a case of safek, so then we're going to treat it like a safek, which means you don't give it to the kohen, and you keep it for yourself, and you wait till it gets a blemish. Isn't that exactly what Rabbi Shmuel is saying? Meaning, Rabbi Shmuel is basically saying the same thing. Rabbi Yishmael is talking about a discharge, and because the discharge may be a birthing event, so therefore now we're in a state of suffix. What is Rabbi Akiva saying different than that of Rabbi Yishmael? So hold that thought, and hold it for a while actually, because it's going to take us a little bit of time. By the end of today's daf, we're going to get there, but we will get to that point of trying to understand how is Rabbi Akiva making any kind of departure away from Rabbi Yishmael. Good. In the meantime, however, we do have the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, so we are going to be spending our first part of today's daf on the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Now, Rabbi Shmuel talked about some sort of discharge event. A discharge event of this mother that you bought, this animal that you bought, so may or may not be a birth. And so, but on the chance that it was a birth, so that means that the subsequent child that comes out now is a non-bechor. Good. Mikan ve'elech amai safek. The Gemara says like this. Now, we were discussing everything for the goat within a year, within the sheep within 2 years, and with the cow within 3 years. Now, what does that mean clearly according to Rabbi Shmuel? That once it's over a year old, once it's over 2 years old, once it's over 3 years old, so we know now that for a goat, sheep, and large animal, we now know that we don't know. Meaning, it could have given birth historically. You bought it from a non-Jew. You simply don't know the history. You don't know its birthing history. So it could have been a non-Jew, but it could not have been. And so therefore, what has Rabbi Shmuel taught us in the Mishnah? Suffolk. So it's in a state of suffolk. The Gemara basically starts off the questioning like this. After a year, after 2 years, after 3 years for a goat, sheep, and large animal, why do we say suffolk? Why don't we make the following argument? And why do we say that, look, these are female animals, and they tend to give birth. And their tendency to give birth, now, we could take out the word tendency, and we could substitute it with another word, and that is rove. Right. The majority of animals, of female animals, give birth. When nature takes its course, so they give birth. So now, why are we in the world of suffix? Shouldn't we, after a year, 2 years, and 3 years, for goat, sheep, and large animal, shouldn't we now enter into the world of, we pretty much know what's going on, or halachically, rove? And isn't that going to be a determinant? That's the Gemara. That's where we start off. Bisoch Shnasan Ninhu. So Vahavadai Molid Olid. So the Gemara says, Lema Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Meir Svirle Dechai Shlemiyuta. So the Gemara says, oh, okay, fine. So maybe I think it goes like this. You're right. The majority of animals do in fact give birth after a year, after 2 years, after 3 years. And it's true that if we went on the premise of Rove, of majority, so then we should say that after a year, it's not a suffix as to whether or not it gave birth. Chances are, better chances are, that it has given birth previously. What does that mean for me, the owner of this animal now? Any subsequent animal, it's not even a suffix. Meaning, I don't even have to, for sure I don't have to give it to the Kohen. If it's a suffix, I don't have to give it to the Kohen. But moreover, I don't even have to take the chance that it may be a Bechor. I could just treat it like a regular chulin animal. What the Gemara does is now suggest that, oh, you know what? Here's how we're going to solve for this problem. Rabbi Yishmael subscribes to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is choshesh lemiyuta. Rabbi Meir is concerned about that minority chance. And so it is a good answer, but it's a limiting answer. Because now it has Rabbi Yishmael have to subscribe to Rabbi Meir's viewpoint in order to take on this position. So the Gemara says, afilu tem rabban. The Gemara says, no, let's not be so limiting. It could very well be that Rabbi Shmuel subscribes to the Chacham and that we're not worried about a miyut. Ki az labas ruba beruba disa kaman kagon tisha chanios v'sanedrin ava ruba delesa kaman lo az rabban abas ruba. So the Gemara now tries to make the following distinction. Now I'm taking us back a long time in the daf to Chulin Yud Aleph. You remember Chulin Yud Aleph and Chulin Yud Beis where we discussed the topic of Rov. That is the primary source in the Gemara that discusses the topic of Rov. And we talked about Rov in two categories. Category number one is ruba di isa kaman, where I have the Rove and I have all the information right in front of me. Classic example, Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is now going to have to vote on a decision. If it's a capital case, you have 23 judges, and they're going to now tell us each one their opinion on whether or not guilty or innocent. If 13 say innocent and 12 say guilty, so this is Ruba de Isa Kaman. It's a majority, and all the information is right in front of us. This is not statistics. This is we're just simply counting and we're doing the math. More than 50% are saying innocent, so this is Ruba Disa, come on. Now, obviously, that's a powerful rove, because I'm not basing it on any statistics, and I'm not basing it on tendencies. All the information is in front of me. Another example of Ruba Disa, come on, is the stores. I have 10 stores, 9 are selling kosher, 1 is selling non-kosher. A piece of meat now is in the street, right in the middle of all these stores. Where did it come from? So I have all the information right in front of me right now. And so therefore, that's Ruba Deisa, come on. That's a strong rove. Masha Ein Kein, if we're talking about tendencies and statistics and frequencies, so that's Ruba Deleisa, come on. And what the Gemara now is trying to argue is that this is not as strong a rove. And so therefore, what the Chachamim would agree is that this miut now is going to be a stronger miut. And therefore, this is a miut that we're going to have to be concerned with. The Gemara says, Ki Azli Basa Ruba Deisa, come on, Kigon, Teisha Chanuas V'Sanhedrin. Good. I gave both of the examples because I read it. Avaruba delaysa kaman loazli rabban abasaruba. But when it comes to a rove that is not in front of us, tendencies and frequencies and statistics, so there the chachamim are going to be concerned for the miut. Our discussion over here is about what kind of rove. In other words, we bought the animal, we know its age, but we don't know its birthing history. Okay, so let's now go on tendencies. Oh, tendencies? That's a ruba delaysa kaman. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is that the Chachamim agree to Reb Meir, that we're worried about the minority because it's not such a strong a rove. The Gemara says, but we know patently that that's not true. We know that even a Ruba Delesa come on, the Chachamim are not worried about a miyut. How do I know that? So the Gemara says, consider the following. V'hakatam v'ketana de Ruba Delesa come on, v'kazi rabban abasa ruba. So when we have two minors, a boy and a girl who are both minors, so we're not worried about a miyut at all. Even though this is not a ruba de isa kaman, ruba de lesa kaman. A little bit more explanation coming up. Didnan, kan v'ketana lo chotzim v'lo miyabmim. We have a scenario, it's a strange scenario, where we have a yibam opportunity or a chalitza opportunity, but it happens to be right now that the candidates for yibam and chalitza and or chalitza are both happen to be minors. He's a minor, she's a minor, right? She got married as a minor, and the surviving brother is a minor, and so now, it's a little bit strange, both of them are underage, so how about doing chalitza? So Rabbi Meir says no. How about doing yibum? Rabbi Meir says no. Now, there are two different no's. The no on chalitza, we'll see in just a moment, that's a drasha. The Noan Yibum, Rabbi Meir says, I'll tell you why Noan Yibum. We'll see. Let's first read in the Gemara, and then we'll see it inside. And I'll say it outside. Did not cut me katana lochotzen below me. I'm divrei Rabbi Meir. I'm lo yafa. I'm arshein chotzen. So Rabbi Meir says, no, they can't do Yibum. No, they can't do Chalitza. According to Rabbi Meir, what do they do if there's a Yibum opportunity? So according to Rabbi Meir, they're going to wait. They're going to wait until they're both of age, and then they'll do Yibum and or Chalitza. Now, the Chachamim say to Rabbi Meir, look, you're right about the Chalitza. Ein chotzen ish kasa beparsha, umakshinan isha leish. So in terms of Chalitza, we have a drasha. The Torah says ish by Chalitza, and we have a hekesh in terms of the woman. So they, for Chalitza to be performed, so they both have to be adults. Fine. However, ma tamin miyabnim. So but in terms of Yibum, why not? Why not? Why don't they do Yibum? So Amar em katan shema yemate sris katana shema timate ailonis v'nimsu pogan be'erva. So Rameir says, because here's what I'm concerned about. You see, we right now don't know about their potency. They're both minors. We don't know if he's potent, he may be impotent. We don't know of her ability to conceive. She may be an ailonis and unable to conceive. And so therefore, under those circumstances, if that in fact happens, now I understand Rameir says, chances of that happening are small. But I'm Rabbi Meir. I'm Choshesh Lemiuta. So I understand that the chances of this happening is slim, but okay. But my position is these are things that concern me. And again, it's not my personal concern. It's Rabbi Meir saying my principal position of I'm Choshesh Lemiut. And so therefore, I can't have them doing Yibum because they may not be able to conceive. And if they're in a position where they can't conceive, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. And as we said throughout the Masecht of Yevamos, if there's no mitzvah of Yibum, we're back to the Isser Erva of Eshesach. Now we heard about the Isser of Eshesach in last week's Parsha. We get to hear it again in this week's Parsha. Right? We're right between Achrimos and Kedoshim. So we get to hear it twice. So anyway, so fine. So that's Rav Meir's position. V'rabana zilbasar rov or ruba. Or zilbasar ketanim. V'rov ketanim lav srisim ninu. Zilbasar ketanus v'rov ketanus lav islandis ninu. And the Chachamim say back to Rav Meir, that's a slender chance, or what we call an halacha miut. We're not worried about a miut. Majority of boys grow up and are potent. Majority of women grow up and they become with the ability to conceive. And so we're going to work right now with assumptions given to us by the principles of Rove. And the majority of boys and girls are going to grow up in order, and they're both going to be able to have a child. And so therefore, based on that, we say that they can do Yibam right now, based on the Rov. What kind of Rov is this? Is this a Rov de Lesa come on or Ruba de Isa come on? Obviously, it's a Ruba de Lesa come on. We're not basing it on the given information right now. It's based on tendencies and statistics. And so this is obviously a Ruba de Isa come on. So you're telling me that the Chachamim, when it comes to a Ruba de Lesa come on, oh, they are going to be concerned about the Miut. We have just proven categorically that's not true. Ella, there are the Gemara in Yevamos discusses in more detail. I'll tell you what. Come back to me afterwards. I'll give you more information later. Ella Amar Rava says. Now we turn to the top of Chaf Amud Aleph. Machvarta Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Meir Sfir Le Dechayish Lemiuta. So Rava says, you know what? Let's go back to our original position. It's really the easiest position. Rabbi Shmuel does subscribe to Rameir, which is Choshesh Lemiuta, and again, that explains Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah. Again, let's just quickly recap. We have now a situation in which you bought an animal from a non-Jew, you don't know its birthing history, and it's now for a goat over 1 year old, and for a sheep over 2 years old, and for a large animal over 3 years of age. And so now, why don't we say that instead of saying it may have given birth, why don't we say it definitely gave birth? Or not definitely, I'll speak more clearly, it most probably gave birth. And if it most probably gave birth, so that means that all subsequent birthing, of course, is not a Bechor based on the principle of Rov. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, from this point going forward, now it's a Suffolk. Why is it a Suffolk? And the answer is now, says the Gemara, again, it was the original suggestion. We try to move away from it. But the Gemara says no. Rabbi Shmuel is subscribing to Rameir's position. The chances are probably it did give birth historically, but there is also a chance it didn't give birth. And based on the off chance that it didn't give birth, so therefore what comes out now is a suffix. Okay, adkan. That is approach number one. Ravina gives a second approach. Ravina Amar Afilu Temer Rabbanan. No, we can go back to suggesting that Rabbi Shmuel holds like the Chachamim. And clearly, by the way, in this tension of the Gemara, Is Rabbi Shmuel hold like Rav Meir? Does Rabbi Shmuel not hold like Rav Meir? Meaning, I feel, it's what my, I could be right, like I feel like the Gemara is not want to limit Rabbi Shmuel to Rav Meir's viewpoint. Meaning Rav Meir's position over here is not an accepted position. It is his position, but to have Rabbi Shmuel just pigeonholed into, to have Rabbi Shmuel's position pigeonholed into Rav Meir's position, the Gemara is like, the Gemara has that tension. Anyway, so the Ravina Amar Filotim Rabban Kiyazar Rabban Basaruba Baruba Dilo Taleb Maisa Avaruba de Taleb Maisa La. So we could suggest like this. There are two different types of roves. We're going to now take rove and divide into another division. And that is a rove that happens naturally and a rove that requires input and an action point. So let's say a rove that happens naturally, right? A child grows up and he will become a potent human being with the ability to father a child. A woman's going to grow up with the ability to conceive. Those are things that happen naturally, organically. You don't need any kind of action for that to happen. But in order for an animal to birth, so what do you need for that? So you need human input. Now I say human input. What does that mean? Human input. So Rashi says, Tosa says it even more clearly here on the daf, that sometimes the animals don't want to mate. And so sometimes what the farmer has to do is the farmer has to more than just encourage, meaning actually physically manipulate the animals in order for them to have to give birth. So it's true that the majority of animals do in fact give birth. And after a year, 2 years, 3 years for these animals, so the probability is that they gave birth. But that's only with input, right? You need another animal. Sometimes you need the farmer to step in as well. And so therefore, this is the kind of rove where even though it's a rove, but it's diminished a little bit by virtue of the fact that you need an action point. It's talib emaisa. Okay.
How does it compare to the other two cases?
The other cases are just things that happen by themselves.
Like the meat of the ten.
That's ruba de isa kaman. That's even stronger. In the cases of ruba de leisa kaman, like in other words, having the minors performing the mitzvah of yibum. They're going to grow up. He's going to grow up and he'll be potent. She's going to grow up and she'll with the ability to conceive. That's the tendencies. And for that, we don't need a maisa. That's just simply time. Time will lapse, and that will happen. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of our first part of the Gemara, the question within Rabbi Shmuel, why? After a year, 2 years, 3 years, is it a suffix? Why isn't it a rove? And the Gemara's answer, the Rava's version of the Gemara's answer is that because Rabbi Shmuel subscribes to Rav Meir's viewpoint, Ravina's answer is that, no, Rabbi Shmuel doesn't subscribe to Chachamim, but this is a rove hatala b'maisa. Good. Next, Tanur Rabbanan. We are now on Chaf Amud Aleph. We are five lines from the top of the Amud. And here we're going to do a Braisa. This Braisa is going to be an excellent review of our Mishnah, but with a couple of wrinkles that we didn't see in our Mishnah, and we're going to be discussing those wrinkles. Tanur Rabbanan, so here we start off with the following. Eiz Bash Nasav Vade LeKohen. Again, you bought a goat from a non-Jew, and you don't know of its birthing history, and you only know when this goat was born. So within its first year, so that first birth, it was its first birth. And so therefore, Vada la Kohen, that's a Bechor, and you give it to the Kohen. Mikana la Halam Suffolk, from this point going forward, it's a Suffolk. Racha Bashtayim, Vada la Kohen, Mikana la Halam Suffolk. Par Bashalosh, Vada la Kohen, Mikana la Halam Suffolk. Okay, exactly what we saw back in the Mishnah, a year for a goat, 2 years for a sheep, and 3 years for a large animal. Chamora Kepara. Now, according to the Tanakama, the donkey, just like the cow. Cow is 3 years of age, and donkey is 3 years of age. Oh, by the way, I want to introduce a point which I'm so wise now that I went to the farm for one day. So the cows give birth nowadays, bismanenu, cows give birth before they're 3 years of age. Meaning the Gemara's assumption over here is that a cow, right, will not give birth until after 3 years of age. And or if it gave birth within 3 years of age, that's for sure it's first. And so I'm telling you that cows nowadays give birth before three. But here's the good news. I'm not the one who discovered this. Meaning this already goes back to the time of Tosfos. The Bali HaTosfos were bothered by this question. Because their cows in the 11th, 12th, 13th century were also giving birth within their second year of life and perhaps even earlier. Right? It happens to be the dairy farm that I visited. So they send the cows away from birth until 1 year, and then for the second year of life, from one to two, so that's when they start with the birthing process. Anyway, so so Tosfos already is bothered by this question, and Tosfos is an Avodah Zarah. All right, now that's the best I got for you. But Tosfos in Avodah Zarah was bothered by this question, and Tosfos over there says Nishanu Ateva. That you have to say that over the course of time, certain things changed naturally, and nature has gone through some sort of change over the course of time, and so you have to say that. Meaning, otherwise, you know, the Gemara is over here just speaking to things that we don't experience. Okay, anyway, fine. So far, everything that we just saw in the Braisa is Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Chamor, Bas, Arba Shanim. So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to a donkey, it's 4 years of age. Okay, a small departure from the position of Rabbi Shmuel, but basically he subscribes to Rabbi Shmuel. So let's put this down right now on the books as opinion number one. Opinion number one, that of Rabbi Shmuel, good. We knew it already because we learned it back in the Mishnah. Ad kan div Rabbi Shmuel. And then the Braisa makes sure that we know this. Okay, good. Kishen amu dvarim lifnei Rabbi Yoshua. So amar lahem tzu'u amar lo le Rabbi Shmuel teita. So now the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is said over in front of Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua says, do me a favor, send the following message over to Rabbi Shmuel. He made a mistake. Okay, you made a mistake. Il bevlad bevad habehema nifteres hayakid varecha. Fine. And look, again, it's that false assumption. Now, I know we heard this already because we heard this back in the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. But in the Mishnah, this was Rabbi Akiva telling this to Rabbi Shmuel. Here in the Braisa, Rabbi Yoshua is making the point to Rabbi Shmuel. It's not a full-fledged birth that is going to exempt the next animal from Bechor. It could be even something, even a less significant event in terms of what comes out of the animal. Siman vabebe madaka tinof uvegasa shilya uveisha shpir vishilya. What is considered a birth? Well, it depends on the size of the creature. If we're talking about a small animal, it could be even just a discharge. That could qualify as a birth. Now, again, I'm going to repeat what I said back in the Mishnah. A discharge does not mean it was a birth, but it means it could have been a birth. But still, it could have been. Right? And it's a suffix. And when it comes to a larger animal, so you need to see an afterbirth. And when it comes to a woman, you need to see an amniotic sac and you need to see an afterbirth. Okay. But obviously, our focus over here is going on the small and large animals. The women is something we're discussing later in the Masechta when it comes to Bechor Adam. And so therefore, this is now Rabbi Yoshua's position. And here's what I say. Sorry. So that is what I have learned from my Rebbeim. Now, from this point going forward now, we're going to call this the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, but to be even clearer, we're going to call this the tradition of Rabbi Yoshua. The Gemara describes this as the Gamrei. Okay. So, and that means as follows, that according to Rabbi Yoshua's tradition, if an animal has, if a goat, let's just deal with the goat because it's the easiest example and someone that we're going to keep going over again and again. If the goat has given birth within a year, so according to Rabbi Yoshua, it's not for sure going to go to a Kohen because it could have had a discharge earlier. And that discharge would now have counted as birth number one. And this now is going to be going as birth number two. Okay. Now, va'ani, now this is Rabbi Yoshua still talking, and Rabbi Yoshua is saying, look, everything I told you right now is the tradition that I received. However, I slightly disagree with the tradition that I received. Now, I know, Hedy, you're going to ask me, how can he do that? I'm not sure, but he does. Va'ani, ein ani omer kein, ela eiz shetinfa bashisha yoles besoch shnasa. Rachel shetinfa bashnasa yoles besoch shtayim. I say that if a goat had a discharge at the six-month mark, so then it's possible for her to give birth within that year. And if a sheep within the two, within after a year, so then she's going to be able to give birth after, within 2 years. Okay, now, obviously, he is espousing his own position, which is subtly different than that of the tradition that he has given over. Now, what exactly is the difference? Right now, it's not at this point, easy to determine, but the Gemara later on will clarify exactly the subtle difference between the tradition he received and his own position. Amar Rabbi Akiva, and now in the Braisa we're going to record a fourth opinion. Now, I'm calling it the fourth opinion because here's how I'm counting it. Rabbi Shmuel in the Braisa is opinion number one. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is just a small tweak within Rabbi Shmuel. In terms of a donkey, is the 3 or 4 years of age? Fine. But let's call Rabbi Shmuel opinion number one. Then I have Rabbi Yoshua two times over. Rabbi Yoshua giving us the tradition that he received, and Rabbi Yoshua espousing his own opinion. That's opinions 2 and 3. And now in the Braisa, opinion number 4, which is Rabbi Kiva. I'm Rabbi Kiva, ani lo bati lidei midazu. Rabbi Kiva says, I don't agree. Ella, kol she'edu shebichrein kan lakoin klum. If you know that it already has given birth previously, so then obviously this is not the Bechor. And therefore you don't give it to the Kohen. Bechoshua bichra harizel Kohen. And if you know that historically it has not given birth and this is the first birth, so then obviously this goes to the Kohen. Safek, yochob amum alabalim. Now if it's a case of Safek, so then the owner retains it, but he has to wait until it gets a blemish and then and only then can eat it. Okay. And again, I could re-ask the question, in fact I will, what is Rabbi Kiva saying that's different than all the above positions? At this point in time, we literally have no idea, because he didn't explain. That's the Amud Beis of today's daf, which, God willing, we're going to get to. Now, so we have now, in this braisa, 4 opinions to my count. 1, Rabbi Yishmael. 2 and 3 is Rabbi Yoshua. And 4 is Rabbi Akiva. And so, we need some clarification, which is what the Gemara is going to do. By my kamiflagi, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yoshua. So, lema betina poter kamiflagi. So, what's that? What are the issues, or what separates the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and that of Rabbi Yoshua? So the Gemara starts off with the following premise. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel doesn't subscribe to this idea of discharge. Meaning, Rabbi, as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, discharge is not considered a birth. A birth is when the animal has a viable birth. So, and along comes Rabbi Yoshua and he says, no, a discharge is considered a birth. The subsequent birth is therefore no longer the Bechor. And the Gemara makes this exact suggestion. Lema betinov poter kemiflagi. Rabbi Shmuel suffered tinov eno poter. Rabbi Yeshua suffered tinov poter. Good. So the Gemara is suggesting this is what separates Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Shmuel.
The Gemara. The others do also.
Huh?
Only tinov or also the shiva?
No. Right. In other words, again, the Gemara is just focusing on goats because the simon vlad of a goat is tinov. But then we would say for a rachel.
The same thing. You would have.
Yeah, in other words, right. And for a Rachel, right, it has to be a Shulia.
Right.
Right.
You consider that another bird.
Right, correct.
And an embryo?
Sorry. And I'm sorry, for a sheep. I'm sorry, just to clarify. The sheep also is Tinov. For a para it would be Shulia. Right. It would be the same achlokas.
And for the woman, even an embryo would not be considered a bird?
I don't know.
That's what he said.
Okay. I hear you, I don't know. And Ida Chazina, so the Gemara backs off from this suggestion. Ida Chazina de Tinov de Kuleyama lo pligi de Tinov Poter. So the Gemara backs off from that suggestion because it sounds like that there is no debate over here. For a small animal to discharge, that may in fact be a birth. And no one's arguing that point. So, Vahacha Bechoshin Latinov Kemiflagi. And over here it's just a question of, do we put this under the category of suspicion? Do we suspect that the animal has in fact discharged? Rabbi Shmuel Savrein Choshishin Latinov. So Rabbi Shmuel says, look, it's just simply not a concern. Meaning, again, this is Rabbi Shmuel talking about tendencies. And Rabbi Shmuel says that the tendency of a goat or a sheep within its first year, again, let's just focus on goat, because it's just easier to discuss it this way. So the tendency of a goat within its first year is not to give birth and not even to discharge. And Rabbi Yoshua Savrein Choshishin Latinov. And Rabbi Yoshua says, no, that is a possibility, and because it's a possibility, therefore it's a concern. And that's why, even within its first year, according to Rabbi Yoshua, because it could have had been metanef historically, it could have discharged historically, so therefore now, even though it gave birth at the end of the first year, but still, this could be now the second birth of this animal, meaning it's a non-bechor. So the Gemara says, very good. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Remember what we learned today, right? We don't have to go back that far. Today, earlier this morning, we learned that according to Rava, Rabbi Shmuel subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Meir that we're choshish lemiuta. So now, let's ask a wonderful question. How can you tell me that the whole machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yoshua is whether or not we're concerned for Tinov and we're putting Rabbi Shmuel on the side of I'm not concerned of Tinov? Well, wait 1 second. If Rabbi Shmuel subscribes to Rabbi Meir, even though it is unlikely that Tinov will occur, but there is a chance, and isn't Rabbi Shmuel subscribed to Rabbi Meir's viewpoint? So that's a wonderful question. The Gemara gives 2 suggestions. Number 1, ki chayish l'chomer l'kula lo chayish. Number 1, look, what are we saying over here? We're saying this as a chomra or as a kula. If we're choshesh le Reb Meir and it results in a chomra, so then Rabbi Yishmael will be concerned for the viewpoint of Reb Meir. But he will not be choshesh for lemiyuta if what it results in is in a kula. What are we saying over here? We're saying over here that something is not definitively a bechor because of the possibility that it previously had a discharge. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, fine. So to that degree, Rabbi Yishmael will not go. Rabbi Yishmael will not be concerned of Rabbi Meir only so that it produces a leniency, not a stringency. Or the Gemara now gives an alternative explanation of the difference between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yoshua. And it could go like this. Look, is the discharge considered a birth? Again, is the discharge event a possible birth? Everyone will agree. Yes.
It's only once a year.
The machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yoshua is the following. Can a goat, in the first year of her life, can she have a discharge and on top of that also have a successful birth? And Rabbi Yishmael says to that, no. In other words, both events cannot happen within the first year of her life. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, both events could in fact happen in the first year of her life. Rabbi Yishmael, Savra mitanefes, enu choses v'yolaz besoch nasa, v'hamid olid vade lo tanef. And so therefore, since these two events cannot occur in the first year of her life, by virtue of the fact that she had a birth in the first year of her life, is now proof positive that she did not have a tinuf, a discharge event, earlier that year. And so therefore, this is a brachor. And Rabbi Yeshua Savra mitanefes, choseres v'yolaz besoch nasa. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, no, both events could occur in the first year of this goat's life. She could have discharged earlier in the year, and she could have had successfully a birth later that year. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Yoshua, where are we right now in terms of that birth at the end of her first year? Suffolk. We don't know. And because we don't know, so it's not a vadai bechor. Okay. So the first stop of the Braisa, what we did is we tried to spell out the difference between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yoshua. And the differences between them could be, the Gemara gave a number of suggestions. Whether Tinuf is considered a birth, the Gemara didn't like that. Whether we're concerned for Tinuf, that's one possibility. Whether Tinuf and a birth can both events occur within the first year of that goat. Rabbi Yishmael says no, Rabbi Yeshua says yes, it's possible. Okay. A number of different ways of separating the positions of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yoshua. Okay. Now, next stop. We are on the first wide line on the bottom of the Amud. Next stop over here is, let's try to highlight the difference between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Yoshua. And I said that correctly. Mm-hmm. Let's try to highlight the difference between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Yoshua. Because you remember Rabbi Yoshua says, this is the tradition I have. Mm-hmm. And then he made a statement of the Ani Omer. Now, despite the fact that I have a tradition, I have a small departure from my tradition. What is that small departure? In the Braisa, it's really unclear. And so, the Gemara...
Ani Omer, that he's giving his opinion?
Yeah, right. So, so what exactly is the difference? V'ani eini Omer kein ela, ei shetimfa bashisha yolez toch shnasa. Racho shetimfa bashnasa yolez besoch shtayim. Ma'ika bein gamrei. Now, the Gemara describes the tradition as a Gemara, meaning that is the definition of the word Gemara, Gemara's tradition. And l'savrei. Versus what he himself holds based on his own logic. So the Gemara says as follows. We are going to give 1, 2, 3 possibilities. Number one. Shetinfa besof shisha v'ika b'nau d'zi'iri. Now the Gemara says like this. Okay, let's set up the calendar. Okay. Again, we're talking about a goat. Here are the facts in front of us. A goat has, in order for this goat, female goat, to give birth, it has to go through a 5-month gestation period, right? We've discussed this numerous times. And so that means that in order for her to be able to give birth in her first year, so that means that she must be impregnated in month number 6 or even month number 7. And that way she could, in fact, give birth in the first year. Well, let's say month number 6. If she conceived in month number 6, if she was impregnated in month number 6, so she could now have her first baby before she's 1 year old, okay? Also, on top of that, the following events occurred. She was metane b'sof shisha. What happened is that she had a discharge at the end of month 6. Now, when we say the end of month 6, really what we mean is the beginning of month number 7. Okay, so now, consider. If she, right after the discharge, were to immediately conceive, so what would be her months of pregnancy? It would be, I'm going over the months, months 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Already now, she would be giving birth within her first year. Okay. However, there is also the opinion of Ziri. Now, admittedly, Ziri is an Amora, but there's the opinion of Ziri, and that's as follows. Is that after this goat has discharged, she is simply not going to be ready for conception until another month. So, if she had a discharge in the beginning of month number 7, let's call it day 1 of month number 7, so that means that the next time that she's going to be ability have the ability to conceive will be the beginning of month number 8. And now, what are her months of pregnancy? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. But in other words, but her birth is going to be day 1 of the second year. Okay. So, now I know I'm being extraordinarily specific, but the Gemara is, so that's why I have to be. So the Gemara says, Shetinfa b'sof shisha v'ika b'nau d'zi'iri. Now, the difference between Rabbi Yoshua as the tradition he received versus Rabbi Yoshua, his own opinion, is only whether or not we subscribe to Ziri's principle. Da'am Ziri ain't teen of pachos mishoshim yom. So, Ziri says there's this 30-day hiatus. After the post-discharge 30-day hiatus. Legamre isle de Ziri. So according to the tradition that he received, subscribe to Ziri. So that means to say, now once you subscribe to Ziri, so that means that if she discharged, now again, I know we're being extraordinarily specific, but if she discharged at the tail end of her 6 month or day 1 of month number 7, so when is it now that the next time she's going to be giving birth? It's only going to be after year number 1 is over, meaning the beginning of year number 2. Which now means that if, in fact, she gave birth within that first year, what does that speak about the discharge? It was not a birthing event. Remember, go back to what I said in the beginning. Discharge just simply means it may have been a birth, but not definitively. By virtue of the fact that this goat now had a baby within that first year, now allows us to go back to that discharge and say simply, it was not a birthing event. L'savrei. However, as far as Rabbi Yeshua himself holds, Leisle de Ziri, he simply does not subscribe to Ziri. So that means to say now that if she had a birth within the first year, so it's possible that the discharge was a birth, and this second birth occurring at the end of the year also would be a birth as well. Good. That is all one way to make a distinction between the tradition versus the Svara of Rabbi Yeshua.
Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold by the 1 month gap that you have to between
discharge and that. Correct. Number two, Ibai Sema Dekuli Alma Islay Daziri, everyone subscribes to Ziri. So again, the case now is going to be the exact same case with the assumption that we hold like Ziri. So again, that means to say that she discharged at the very beginning of month number 7. And we subscribe to Ziri that there's going to be a 1 month hiatus before she's going to be able to conceive once again. And even though an assumption that we had is that she has a 5 month gestation period, that 5 month gestation period is a machlokus in terms of whether it has to be full 5 months or it can be into the 5 month where she's going to give birth. Now, as Rashi points out over here, the Gemara's assumption when it comes to a woman, a human woman, is that it is a 9 month pregnancy and it's a full 9 month pregnancy. Now, you and I know that nowadays, that's not so. That a woman give birth even before 9 months is up. So, but in the time of the Gemara, however, the assumption going in is that a woman is a full 9 months. So, and we're going to speak to this idea so many times throughout the right Masechta Nida. We're going to talk about it again and again. And later in the Masechta also as well. And Rashi, by the way, if you want to see a little bit of Gemashka, Rashi goes to the Herayon, right, 271. Anyway. But that's the assumption when it comes to a human. When it comes to an animal, same or different? So it's a machlokus. And the Gemara is saying, and that's the machlokus. So, ligamrei, as we now turn to the top of Chaf Amud Beis, lo amina yoledes lemekutayim. So the tradition has it that a goat, 5 month gestation is full as a 5 full months. And therefore, it would be impossible for her to have that child at the end of year 1, it would have to come at the beginning of year 2. And what if it did come at the end of year 1? So then it forces us to go back to that discharge and therefore conclude that the discharge was not a birthing event. Good. Lissavrei, Masha'enkin, according to Rabbi Yoshua's own personal opinion, is Armenia, your letters Mukutayim. No, the goat is different than a human. a goat can give birth in her fifth month. Fine. The Gemara gives a third suggestion, is that Lomar Mina Yoledes Vahacha B'Mixas Yom Kekula K'Miflugli Savrei Amrina Mixas Yom Kekula L'Gamar Lomar Mina Mixas Yom Kekula. This is going to be probably one of the strangest applications of the principle of Mixas Yom Kekula. Mixas Yom Kekula tells us is what we know probably most popularly by Avelis. So an Avel sits Shiva for 7 days. What happens on the seventh day? On the seventh day, so you observe the beginning of the seventh day, Mixas Yom Kekula. And so therefore you could say that now is a completion of the seventh day, even though you have observed only partial of the seventh day. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that we could say this regarding this unusual event. And again, it all starts off with the following storyline, timeline. You have her discharging at day one of month number seven. We subscribe to Ze'iri, which is that there's going to be a 1 month hiatus. Mm-hmm. The next possible time that she can conceive is now the beginning of month number eight. She has to go through 5 full months of gestation. We do not subscribe to a partial gestation. It's a full gestation. And so now, as she has given birth in the beginning of year number two, so do we say Mixas Yom Kekulo? Meaning, Ligamre Lo Arminan Mixas Yom Kekulo. Sorry, let me read one line earlier. Lisavre Arminan Mixas Yom Kekulo. Ligamre Lo Arminan Mixas Yom Kekulo. And now, do we say that last day is a hybrid? Do we say that it is both the end of the previous year and the beginning of this upcoming year? And if we say that, so then we can say that in fact she has given birth at the end of the previous year. And that is a distinction between the tradition versus the Rabbi Yeshua's own personal position. So three different ways to make a really, really fine distinction between Rabbi Yeshua tradition-wise versus Rabbi Yeshua in his own opinion. And finally, the end of today's daf.
Limited time, though, because it's just like
an extraordinarily unlimited situation.
And you have to keep track of exactly when what's born.
Correct. I'm Rabbi Kiva, ani lo bati li demi dezu ala kol shiadua. Ma'ika ben Rabbi Kiva la Rabbi Yeshua. Now, I already asked this question twice this morning, but now we get an answer. Rabbi Kiva clearly is disagreeing with Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yishmael. That's clear. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva disagreed with Rabbi Yishmael. In the Braisa, on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, agreed. He disagrees with both. What we don't know, because Rabbi Kiva was not clear, is on what points does he disagree? And now we're going to learn together. Ma'ika ben Rabbi Kiva la Rabbi Yeshua am Rabbi Chanan misura chala poterika benayu. Okay, he bought the animal from a non-Jew. And the animal's nursing. Now, I don't know about the birthing history of the animal, but the animal's nursing. And so here's a little biology that I know. Generally speaking, an animal nurses because she historically has given birth. Okay. And so now, given the evidence of now that this animal that I just purchased is now lactating, so now I can make an argument, and it's a pretty reasonable one, that she has historically given birth. Rabbi Kiva Savar Chalav Poter. Halachar Chorov Behemoth, Verov Behemoth Ein Chovos, Ela Imkein Yoldos, and Rabbi Yoshua Saver, Ha'ika Miuta De Chovos Afa Bishen Yoldos. So, we are now back into the world of Miut and Rov. If you have an animal and it's nursing, what do the statistics tell us? Statistically speaking, is that it already gave birth. And that's why it's lactating. Good. That's the majority. There is a minority of animals, right? It is an anomaly, but it does happen. There is a minority of animals that do in fact lactate even though they did not give birth. Okay? So, now when I plug in my principles of Rov and Miut, so here's what we're going to say. Rabbi Akiva subscribes to the principle of Rov. If I purchase the animal and the animal's lactating, it means that it gave birth historically. That means that according to Rabbi Akiva now...
Why isn't that Ruba?
It is. Well, the Gemara says it's Rov.
Okay. No, Ruba...
The Gemara says it's Rov. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, no, we have that Miut, and we have to be concerned about the Miut. So the Gemara says, Umichai Rabbi Yoshua la Miut v'atana. Now the Gemara says, now, earlier we talked about Rabbi Shmuel and his relationship to Miut, and the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Now, we get to talk about Rabbi Yoshua, and his relationship to Miut. What do we know about Rabbi Yoshua and Miut? So for our second time this morning, we head back to Yavamos. Haisala, this is now the end of the Masechet in Yevamos. Haisala chamusa, eino choshesheh. Husband and wife go away on a trip, and the mother-in-law. Now the mother-in-law, right, young mother-in-law. So, are we concerned about the following? What happened was is that unfortunately she lost her husband on the trip, and to the best of her knowledge, she doesn't have a sibling. But maybe while they were away, and they were away for a while, maybe her mother-in-law gave birth to a new sibling, which would obviously present a serious halachic consideration, which is that now there's a mitzvah of yibum. So the Mishnah tells us that ein choshesheh. Under normal circumstances, you don't have to be worried. Yatsa malei choshesheh. Now, what if, let's say, while you went away on your very long trip, so you wished your mother-in-law goodbye, okay, and we can even add some narrative to how the goodbye went. So the she wished her mother-in-law goodbye, and sorry, uncalled for. On top of that, she also wished her mother-in-law a potential mazel tov, as she knew that her mother-in-law was expecting. Okay, now, and they left, and they were gone for a while, and Rachmanis, her husband, died, and now she remembers that her mother-in-law, they left her mother-in-law pregnant, and now is she now does she have to travel back to meet her potential new brother and the mitzvah of Yibum? And so, according to the Tanna Kamma, choshesheh, meaning that is a serious concern, and halachically you have to be concerned. And Rav Yeshua Amar in a choshesheh. Now Rav Yeshua says, no, you don't have to be concerned, even though you knew your mother-in-law was pregnant, but you don't have to be concerned. Now let's think about this. Why? Why, according to Rav Yeshua, do you not have to be concerned? In other words, yeah, if your mother-in-law was not pregnant, so then you don't have to be worried, but you saw that she was pregnant as you were leaving. She probably had a baby. So the Amrinan, my time of the Rabbi Yeshua Kasavar. So now the Gemara is going to formulate the argument to Rabbi Yeshua. One, Rov Me'abros Yoldos Umiot Mapilos. Most of the time, pregnancy results in a successful birth. Sometimes it does not. Fine. The facts of life. V'chol Yoldos Mechza Zechar Mechza Nekevos. On top of that, what do we know about the successful pregnancies? Successful pregnancies, half are male, half are female. Good. Smoch Miuta De Mapilos Mechza Nekevos Avlu Zechar Miuto. So the Gemara says we could say like this, that we are going to now, I'm going to throw out numbers just so that we can converse. 90% of the time, pregnancy results in a viable child. 10% it does not. Of the 90%, 45% are female, 45% are male. So now what we're going to do is we're going to take the 10% of miscarriages, put that together with the 45% of female, and now 55% of the time, it's a non-yibum birth. Good.
The same construct as a Kohen.
We don't have to go anywhere else. We could stay right here. Right. Ulamiyuta loch right zecharim lamiyuta. So the Gemara says, and so what do you see? Clearly, according to Rabbi Yoshua, it's a miyut, and by the way, it's a pretty significant miyut, right? Based on my fictitious numbers, of 45% that this is a yibum event, and meanwhile, no concern. So you see that Rabbi Yoshua is not concerned about a miyut. Ulamiyuta loch hashinan. So the Gemara says, so now, I'm sorry, v'havlu zechar miyuta, ulamiyuta lo chayshina. Oh, and we're not worried about a miyut. Okay. So ela epoch. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what we're going to have to do? So that Mishnah in Yevamos is really strong. That Rabbi Yeshua is not worried about a miyut. So here's what we're going to have to do. Take our machlokas, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshua, and flip it. So v'hatanya, ela epoch. The Gemara makes a suggestion of flipping it. And the Gemara says, you know what? It is a radical suggestion, but we have support that this suggestion is, in fact, a good suggestion. Chala poter div Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Akiva Amar Chalaveno poter. And the Gemara says this is, in fact, the correct understanding of the Machlokas, where, according to Rabbi Akiva, now he's taking the position that Chalav is not going to be a poter. And that means, now, let's really spell this out. That means that, according to Rabbi Akiva, you bought an animal from a non-Jew, and the animal's lactating. And that lactation is a really strong evidence that this animal now historically has given birth. And according to Rabbi Kiva, okay, it's strong evidence, but it's not definitive evidence. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, it's a suffix. It's a suffix whether or not it gave birth or has not given birth historically. And so that means that the next birth that comes out, according to Rabbi Kiva, is going to be a suffix. Masha Enke now, according to Rabbi Yoshua, who's not worried about a miut, so that means that according to Rabbi Yoshua, comes out now that... that if you bought the animal and it's lactating, it's given birth historically, period. next birth that comes out is for sure a non-Bechor. One point to finish off today's daf, that's the top Tosos on the Amud. Top Tosos, by the way, the only Tosos on the Amud. Not only the only Tosos on the Amud, it goes into tomorrow's daf as well. But Rabbeinu Tam says a couple of things over here. All super interesting. Pasuk Rabbeinu Tam, the top of the Tosos, the Chalavina Poter. So number one, Rabbeinu Tam paskins that a lactating animal is not definitive proof that it historically has given birth, meaning we paskin like Rabbi Kiva. Our
Rabbi Meir.
Let's not go that far. One step at a time. So the Lakaman Bipirkin and Tosos quotes the Gemara that we're going to actually see a couple days from now. That's going to be clear proof that this is in fact so. That if the animal's lactating, that's not definitive proof that it has given birth historically. Now over here, Rabbeinu Tam now is addressing Hedy's point. Does that mean that we're passing like Rabbi Meir? So Rabbeinu Tam says no. It does not mean that we're passing like Rabbi Meir. Why? And so I'm just going to read the. I'm skipping down like four lines in Tosos. Kach medaktik Rabbeinu Tam dehachi hilchasa dechayshin lemiyuta. Now we are choshesh lemiyuta, but with a serious qualification. Hecha deika chazaka behadaki hacha shehi becheska shelo yalada. When are we worried about a miut, says Rabbeinu Tam? When it's coupled with a chazaka. A miut by itself is something that we're not concerned with, meaning we do not adopt the position of a mayor. However, when it's a miut plus a chazaka. Now over here, what's a chazaka? Mm-hmm. The animal hasn't given birth. Meaning an animal is born having not given birth. And so therefore, its status, until proven otherwise, it has not given birth. And now, what proof do I have that's given birth? That it's lactating? Yeah, but there's a minority of animals that lactate even though they don't give birth. And so now take that and couple it with the chazak of the animal. And the chazak of the animal is that it has not given birth. So when I have miut plus chazaka, so then we're concerned. So Rabbeinu Tam's position, really interesting, is that we don't subscribe to Rabbi Meir, but we do subscribe to Rabbi Akiva. And how do I balance that? I balance that because Rabbi Akiva is taking into consideration it's a miut plus chazaka. And when it's a miut plus chazaka, so then we subscribe to this idea that we're concerned with the miut being that it's buttressed by a chazaka.